The Combine is over and the 2025 NFL Draft is almost upon us.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams. The Carolina Panthers select Bryce Young. The Jacksonville Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence.
The Cincinnati Bengals select Joe Burrow.
Let's find out whose stock is falling and whose stock is rising.
Jackpot, baby!
And now it's time for the Zach Gelb Show to give you an inside look at some of the biggest draft prospects in this edition of Prospect Profile.
Alrighty, Prospect Profile time on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And we're going to start with the guy that's expected to go number one in the NFL draft. And that's the former Miami quarterback in Cam Ward, projected to get selected by the Tennessee Titans. So let's go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in the 1992 Heisman Trophy winner from Miami. And that, of course, is Gino Toretta here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Gino, appreciate the time. How you been?
I'm doing great, Zach. How are you?
Well, I'm fantastic. So we know what Cam did last year at Miami, the 44 total touchdowns, finished fourth in the Heisman, and threw for over 4,300 yards. But you being a legendary Miami quarterback, how do you look back at the year that Cam had for your school?
Well, I think he had the best single season of any of us in the history of the school. I mean, yardage-wise, touchdowns, it was just spectacular. You know, I go back to I think the first time I saw him when, you know, he decided to come to Miami in January or February before the draft. And when I watched him throw, and I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, what were the NFL scouts thinking? Because the first thing I saw was elite arm velocity, tight spirals, elite arm placement-wise, accuracy. And I just kind of shook my head. I'm like, okay, their mistake is our gain. And, you know, I think, Zach, it was probably one of those situations where he put up great stats at Washington State. He's really put up great stats wherever he's been. I don't think enough people saw him actually throw the ball in person. And, you know, it just kind of the NFL scouting process, it is what it is. But their loss for a season was our gain. And I think that he just continued to get better. He operated in Miami's offense was outstanding. We ran, you know, a similar system than he had run at Washington State. So, yeah, just a little disappointing end that the team couldn't get in the playoff. But, yeah, Cam had a great season.
You know, it's fascinating the way that you talk about his NFL projection, because I'm a believer in Cam Ward. But a lot of people are knocking down this quarterback draft class and even saying if he was in it last year, he probably would have been maybe the fourth or fifth best quarterback in the draft class. What do you think Cam Ward could be in the NFL as a pro quarterback?
Well, I think he has all the physical skills. I think that, you know, the guys that become elite in the NFL also have 10 other darn good football players around them. They have a, you know, good line, some, you know, weapons on the outside. I think his mental processing is high. So I think the sky's the limit for him. I just think that, listen, the team that has the first pick has the first pick for a reason. It usually isn't for positive ones based on success rate. So I think Tennessee's got a lot of holes, but Cam will be one where, you know, they'll fill that hole rather quickly. I just hope, you know, for his sake and for all the quarterbacks, it's, you know, you want him to have talent around him to be able to show off those skills.
And you look last year at the first three quarterbacks that did go. Caleb Williams walked into a lot of talent but poor coaching and didn't have a good year. Jaden Daniels carried the Commanders. And then Drake May did more with really less around him. So Cam Ward walking into a locker room right away with his leadership skills and what we saw when he did in multiple stops in college. What's the immediate impact that he could do maybe on a day one or in his first season?
Well, I think that was one thing, you know, Mario Cristobal always talked about. He's alpha, you know, when he came in and obviously tried to, you know, become the leader of the teams, took his, you know, linemen out to dinners and things like that. So I think he's already done that. He's already had to do it. I mean, the kids are having to do it in free agency and college football, you know, a lot earlier than we used to when that didn't happen once you were in the pros. So I think that he's been on a few different squads. he's obviously led different people, and he's become, you know, the leader when he was there. And I really think that he's pretty quiet on the field. He's quiet, you know, not a yeller, but I know he talks because I, you know, I'm close enough to where, you know, I watch him practice and I'm like, you know, he's talking smack to the defensive guys and that. And I think that he's always challenging his teammates to be the best they can. And I think that, you know, when you get to the National Football League, I think that's what you want. You want a guy that's always going to challenge anybody around him to get better. And, you know, I think there's no question he has all the ability. But like I said, quarterback position is, you know, you need 10 other guys doing their job, so you can do your job good.
Gino Toretta here with us, the 1992 Heisman Trophy winner from the U. I also love his story. I know we touched on it a little bit, but I got a chance to talk to him when he was at Washington State. You know, he's a zero-star recruit, incarnate word. Then we saw what he did at Washington State, and then this year really got the national buzz. But he's always had the confidence in himself. I remember talking to him when he was out on the West Coast, and he said he believes he could be a Heisman Trophy winner, and he believes he could be one of the best players in college football.
Well, I don't think there's any question. I think that when you run a offense in high school that, I don't know, maybe antiquated. I'm not sure how you run a wing tee because I've never had to run a wing tee. But I know that generally is more in the lines of Johnny Lattner or Notre Dame in the 50s and things like that. And, you know, he was confident then. And I would say this, after watching him throw literally the first time, you know, somebody's wrong, and they've been wrong about this kid for 5 years. And that's where I just, you know, if you see somebody throw, like, don't let your, you know, your eyes don't deceive you when you see somebody has elite arm strength. And I think that, you know, for whatever reason, you know, he's been made to prove it, and he's had no problem going out there and proving it. I mean, his mom was his basketball coach growing up. You know what I mean? Is all of those stories that we hear about guys in the past, oh, his dad has coached him through the course of his career. His mom's coached him, is just on the basketball court. And I think that, you know, he has developed and he's gotten better. And it seems like, you know, at least when he's even working out with Shadur and those guys in their preseason and the last offseason, man, he is not slacking at all. I mean, he's always challenging the guys with him, like, you know, why are we taking a water break here? This is ridiculous. Let's go. Let's keep working harder. And I think that'll serve him well as he gets to the NFL.
And when I got a chance to be around him when he was a Heisman Trophy finalist here in the city, he's a lot bigger, I think, in person than what they have him listed. I know he's not as big as Ben Roethlisberger, but I kind of see a little Big Ben in the game of Cam Ward. How about yourself? Is there a pro quarterback that you've seen before that kind of reminds you of Cam Ward?
Well, he's definitely thick. I would say this, that, you know, the ball coming off reminds me a lot of Michael Vick. You know what I mean? I think that when you watch Vic throw, it was like, wow, this ball is coming out, and it's coming out tight spiral and exactly where he wanted to. Maybe when I played, I had a chance to play with Warren Moon, where that dude never threw a bad ball. There wasn't, I mean, if that ball didn't perfectly spiral when Warren threw it, he would ask the equipment guy to see it and guarantee the laces were bad or something was bad with that ball, because he never threw a bad ball. And I would say that, you know, those are some pretty good comparisons for Cam, because his ball comes out like those guys. It's just tight. It's got a ton of revolutions on it, which it'll get through the wind, you know, when you get in those tough weather conditions in the NFL, and it has the velocity.
Gino Toretta here with us. I want to get your thoughts on Shador Sanders, because a month ago or even a week ago, I thought he was going to go 2 or 3. Now you have Adam Schefter saying he could go at 9, maybe even as far as 21 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. When you see Shador, how do you think his game projects to the next level?
Well, I think, again, he's very talented. Sky's the limit. Probably more of, you know, pocket passer, but he didn't have the skill around him that let's say Cam did, you know, last season. I broadcasted his Nebraska game where I don't know how many times he got hit, 25 times. He probably got sacked 10, and it was all he could do to stay upright and get rid of the ball. So I think he's got the size. He's got the toughness. You know, I mean, I hear a lot of smoke. You know, listen, this is the time of smoke. There's teams that like Shador. There's no question. You know that And I know that. And I think it's just a matter of, can they throw out enough smoke to basically get him maybe a little bit on sale to wherever they want to pick or wherever they move up to. But physically, he's got the ability. You know, when people say confidence, oh, he's too confident. Listen, I've never met a quarterback that's never been too confident. I mean, you have to be confident, and I think that he has that. He's had the spotlight on him, you know, God, since he was a kid, probably in high school, being Deion's kid and the quarterback. So I would say that I think he'll do well. Again, it sometimes is better not to get picked one because the teams that go down are better. There's less holes that those teams have to fill, and maybe you come into the right situation. And you become a starter, and you become a team where you're the missing piece to take them over the top. So it's not all bad. Maybe in the first paycheck, but you hit free agency, and I think they can more than make up for it by then.
And let me be clear too. I think the two best players in this draft are Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter. But you know, you either have a quarterback or you don't in the NFL, and sometimes you may not be the best player in the draft, but you need a quarterback, so you take one. I just don't understand if I was a Browns fan or a Giant fan, and let's say Cam Ward does go one, how you pass on Shedeur Sanders and then justify that when you need a quarterback.
Well, I would agree. You know, listen, I take Travis. I mean, I take Cam because, like you said, the quarterback position is more impactful on a team, and Tennessee needs a quarterback. To me, I'd take Travis Hunter. I don't care who's picking number two. I don't even know who's picking number two, but I would take Travis Hunter. I mean,
Cleveland, yeah.
the kid is, he is just a dog. I mean, he's tall, he's skinny, but man, he has no problem, never shies away contact. And you know, and like I said, I broadcast that Nebraska game, and we met him at the Heisman this year. And I just said something. I go, Travis, man, you don't back down from contact. And he's got a slight frame. He's like, bro, that's the dog in me. And it is. And like what Warren Sapp, one of my old teammates, said, it was just a privilege to watch him practice every day. He is a physical corner. He's got the body control, you know, of the best receivers that we've ever seen. The question is going to be, how many plays are they going to let him play in on both sides? Because he can play both sides. It's just how many plays is wherever he goes, you know, let him play. So I'd pick Travis number two just because of all of that, and he's a hell of a kid.
Would you pick him one over Cam if you were Tennessee?
Not if I needed a quarterback.
Okay.
And based on Tennessee's probably history, I think they must feel that Levis isn't the answer. I think he was only picked a couple of years ago. So I need QB. I'm taking Cam Ward, and from what I hear, everybody in Tennessee is basically kind of settled on that, and I'm sure they're working with Cam's agent to probably negotiate the contract right now before the pick's even made, so there's no holdout days.
Gino Toretta here with us, the 1992 Heisman Trophy winner. I want to get your thoughts on a few other Miami players. I was a big fan of Ladd McConkey out of Georgia, and he fell to the second round. Xavier Restrepo, we haven't really heard a lot about him in this draft process, but what a career, obviously a record-breaking career he had at your school.
Yeah, an absolute stud. Listen, he's been doing it since Pop Warner down here. You just can't get him to the ground. Go ask Cam. He always found the open slot. He would always, you know, find that open area. I can't remember the guy's name that the Dolphins cut, went up to the Jets, and they called him 7-11 Hovind.
Oh, Chris Hogan.
Chris
Yeah.
Hogan. I mean, basically, that's the way I look at Restrepo. And I guess he was tight, ran a bad 40 during pro day, you know, so I'm sure they'll knock him there. But there's no question, the kid, he is just tough. He's one of the hardest working players, if not the hardest working guy out there. Every time I would go out and watch practice, he was the guy running extra routes. It wasn't the young freshman. He was the one doing all the extra work when he probably didn't need to. But he puts in the work. He's hungry, and yeah, he needs to get that opportunity because I know this. He's the guy that he'll know the offense that he's in. He'll find the lanes. He'll be the quarterback's best friend. And he makes all the grabs in tough situations right before contact. So yeah, big fan of Xavier.
You know, it's kind of funny when you parachute into the Miami program all year. What we heard was Cam Ward, Xavier Restrepo, and then we also heard just about obviously how bad the defense was. Elijah Arroyo, though, the tight end, is making some noise here leading up to this draft. What can you tell people about him that maybe aren't familiar with him?
Absolute stud. I would say, if I recall correctly, it was the Virginia Tech game, which they ended up winning on a missed field or a missed Hail Mary by Virginia Tech. But really, what saved the game, and I'm sure it's on YouTube, Cam threw a pick going into the end zone, and Arroyo ran, I think, 91 yards from the left side of the field to the opposite end of the field and tackled the interceptor of the ball inside the 10, and our actually defense stopped Virginia Tech from scoring a touchdown. And it just the hunger, the speed, he seems to have gotten better and better at the entire season. But I agree, he's one of those guys where it's like, oh, that guy plays in Miami. Yeah, that guy's pretty good. And then it's like you watch him, you're like, wow, I'm only watching that guy. He's damn good. And I would agree. I think he's going to be a guy that's he'll have a lot of success. I think a little bit faster than Brevin Jordan, one of our tight ends a couple years ago that's in Houston, maybe even a little bit taller. Yeah, a stud football player.
How about your thoughts on Carson Beck? This time last year, many were projecting him to be the number one overall pick in this draft. Did not go well for him at Georgia, now transferring over to team up with Mario Cristobal. What are your expectations for Carson?
Well, expectations. I don't know what the expectations are. I hope he gets healthy. I mean, to come off elbow surgery and that, he hasn't thrown since what was it, the Sugar Bowl, where he got hurt last year. If he can get, he has all the physical ability in the world. He's 6'4". He's big, tall, tremendous velocity on the ball. It's just a matter of how he's going to do after that injury. Because if he gets back healthy, they've got a lot of young, talented receivers that are there that Cam probably helped develop last year. They get many catches during the season from Restrepo, but no, he'll have a lot of talent around him to be successful.
Last thing I'll ask you, just in the current landscape of college football, there was a story out today from the Tennessee program with Nico Iamaliava, right? The transfer portal window for the spring is opening back up in a few days, and I guess they're going through current NIL negotiations where I don't know what numbers are true. I guess he was getting $2.5 million. He wants four. He's not showing up to the spring practice that was today. I'm in favor of NIL and the transfer portal, to be clear, but man, it really is the wild, wild west, where this is clearly no longer an amateur game.
Well, the thing with the how it's constructed now, a player in college is a free agent twice a year. He's a free agent in December when that window opens, and he's a free agent at the end of the year. To me, you got to shut one of those windows down. You can't have transfers in a season when you're starting playoffs. The same way basketball. I mean, basketball. These guys were, what were they, in the Sweet 16?
Yeah,
And
with
there
the
was
portal.
the portal starts opening. So it's absolutely ridiculous. And how it's not shut for sports to where it's not during their season is, I don't know what the NCAA is waiting for. So you just do it at the end of the year. So they should have, if you have a 1 year contract, 2 year contract, whatever that is, you have, a window at the end of second semester. Maybe you don't have a full spring practice. Maybe you have OTAs after, in the summer to kind of reacclimate the new players or transfers in. I would say this, if they're negotiating now, I think that's good because a couple years ago, it seemed like when Miami went to the Final Four, we had eight basketball players going to the portal, not because they didn't like Miami and Coach L. That was their way of getting paid. So if you can renegotiate and that's great. I think that, hopefully he probably sees the check that Miami gave back and is like, hey,
What about me?
yeah, what about me? So, listen, more power to him. It's life-changing money that these kids are getting even in college now.
Gino, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this.
Anytime, Zach.
All righty, there is Gino Toretta. We'll take a time out. It is a Zach Gelb show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Extra!
time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I think I am one of the lone supporters, or the lone supporter, of Jose Luis Ballester from Arizona State, who is the amateur in the Masters tournament right now. You know, so what? He wore the upside-down Arizona State hat. That, to me, is not a big deal. I don't care about that, you know. But people freaking out, losing their mind, that he took a tinkle in Rays Creek. Like, give me a break. Go to golf course this Saturday, Samter. Do it. Do it this Saturday. You will see a lot of guys, after they have about 15 beers, they will walk into the woods and they will take a little tinkle. That's just what's going to happen. So I had no big issue with it, but everyone has to make this political, right? Angel in the YouTube chat. Zach, would it be okay if he would have taken a tinkle at the Trump National Doral Golf Club? Yeah, I don't care. You go to any golf course that you want. Augusta, you know, Trump National, whatever. You will see people that will go into the woods or will go into a creek and they'll take a number one. Anyway, here is Jose Luis Ballester talking about the whole tinkle issue.
I'm like, I really need to pee. Didn't really know where to go. And since JT had an issue around the green, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sneak here in the river. Probably the people would not see me that much. And then they clap for me. Probably one of the clubs that I really got today, like real loud, so that was kind of funny.
Are you concerned that there might be any blowback from that at all? Or, I mean, obviously, they did see you, right?
Yeah, they saw me. Yeah. I mean, it was not embarrassing at all for me, so if I had to do it again, I would do it again.
Not embarrassing for him. Guy with a lot of confidence, if I may say so myself. Like, who cares? This is what we're going to lose our mind over. Sorry, folks. It just doesn't do it for me. Let's go to Tom Pelissero. He was hosting on the Rich Eisen Show, which is right before us on many of these same Infinity Sports Network affiliates. And Tom Pelissero chimed in on the TJ Watt issue. For people that don't remember, TJ Watt the other day threw up the peace sign on his Instagram in a Steelers uniform. And now everyone's speculating that TJ Watt's going to be out in Pittsburgh.
I would fairly tell you TJ Watt probably is getting a little sick of waiting on the quarterback question as well. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do you want to play here or do you not? That opinion, from everything I've been told, is not solely to Cam Hayward. There are other people, certainly in the organization, in the locker room, who are just going like, what are we doing? We're back for off-season workouts in, you know, 10 days. Mm-hmm. We're coming up on the draft. What is the plan?
So his frustration is not with the contract necessarily. It's with the Aaron Rodgers situation. Well, let me just opine then on the state of the Steelers. This is not your grandfather's Steelers, all right? It's not. You thinking that there is some great view of the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, the Steelers are viewed right now as a good organization that is just stuck in the middle and hasn't won a playoff game since the 2016 season. It's not like there's this great notoriety anymore with the Pittsburgh Steelers where we look at them and we go, oh, you're going there and you're winning a championship. I don't think they have a leg to stand on here when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. And that's why they're letting Aaron Rodgers use them right now. Now, they may eventually think that he's going to come crawling to them and eventually sign with them because Aaron doesn't really have options. But Aaron's hoping that Minnesota says, you know what, J.J. McCarthy, we're good. We'll wait another year. We'll bring in Aaron Rodgers. And I don't believe that's going to happen. But what do the Steelers do? Like, to T.J. Watt, here's what I would say. If let's say he said to me, are you like he's annoyed with the Steelers waiting on Aaron Rodgers. Well, would you rather wait two more weeks on Aaron Rodgers or have Mason Rudolph starting week one? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, TJ. Zach on Long Island with the call at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Come on. What are we doing here? So I think we need to lower our level when we look at the view of the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. The sixth Super Bowl championship Pittsburgh Steelers, they're not the same Pittsburgh Steelers as they've been the last 7 years or so. Shador Sanders, can I ask a question? I say Shador. I hear some people say Shador. Do we know what the correct pronunciation is? Because I've been saying Shador all throughout the year, and I keep on hearing more and more people say Shador.
I've always heard Shador.
Right?
Same, Shador.
This past week, I've heard a lot of Shador. A lot of Shador. when I hear people doing interviews. I've always said Shador Sanders.
I will also say that our closed captioning transcribing program.
Well, that's not always accurate.
Yeah. It always thinks it's something door. Shudor.
Oh.
Shydor. So it thinks it's door something.
Slam the door. Close the door.
Something door.
Ack, are you Shador or Shador when you say Sanders?
I always went Shador, but if he wants to be Shador, fine by me.
Well, to be clear, I don't know what he wants to be, but I've just heard more people this week say Shador. But anyway, here is Shador Sanders, and hopefully I'm not being disrespectful by saying Shador Sanders. He was on Up and Adams with Kay Adams from the airport after his visit with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and this is what he learned from his Steelers visit.
Understand the mindset and why they win a lot.
Why do they win a lot?
Just how he is as a person, you know, just the values that the team has, and what he preaches from his staff down is similar to like my dad.
Okay, if you were to give yourself like a grade on how it went, because it's kind of like a job interview, right? You want to make sure you like it, they like you. What grade would you give yourself?
It was a 10.
Did he do that interview from the same creek that Jose Luis Ballester took a number one in? Jeez, that connection, I know it was in an airport, but as Charles Barkley would say, that was just terrible. Now, getting to the Cleveland Browns, earlier in the show, I opened things up. I waved the white flag. Because I've been saying that the Browns should draft Shador Sanders at 2. I've been saying the Giants should draft Shador Sanders at 3 if he's available. I will now close the door on Shador potentially being drafted with the 2nd or 3rd overall pick. Now, who would think that we live in a world where Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, Russell Wilson, and Jameis Winston would prevent you from taking a quarterback at 2 and 3, but where there's smoke, there's a fire, and the smoke that's been out the last 2 weeks, which I usually don't take the bait for in this NFL draft process, keeps on saying that the Browns and the Giants are both going to pass on Shador. So I'm going to actually believe that now, and I'll give you my updated top 5 once again on what I think will happen. Not should, but what will happen. Cam Ward 1 to the Tennessee Titans, then in at number 2, I do think it's going to be Travis Hunter to the Cleveland Browns. In at number 3, Abdul Carter to the New York Giants. 4, Will Campbell to the Patriots. And then 5, Mason Graham to the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's what I think will happen with the first 5 picks 2 Thursdays from now in the opening round of the NFL draft. Let's go to BA, Bruce Arians. He was on the High Volume, a Colts podcast. And this is what he had to say about Anthony Richardson.
Anthony, I think, needed 2 more years of college, you know, as a passer. Not as an athlete, he's a great athlete. But as a passer, I didn't see him coming out being able to beat anybody in 2 minute and third down. And that's where you win in the NFL. If you can't win third down in 2 minute, you're just an average guy. And I don't care how good you run, you don't run the ball in 2 minute. As a quarterback, you throw it and you command the game. I think his growth this year is going to be huge. If he can't make it, the growth that I think he can make, and I think he's going to put the work in. He's got a great reputation as a hard worker. Daniel will push him. Daniel's going to really push him.
Here's the 2 things. One, I agree with Bruce Arians. I don't know if he needed 2 more years, but he definitely needed another year. The second part, do we know that he has a great work ethic? Now, I don't know that he doesn't. But when you know Anthony Richardson for getting benched in the NFL because he tapped out during a game because he was tired, can I definitely say that we all know that he has a great work ethic? Not that just because one thing happens doesn't mean the guy doesn't have a great work ethic, but I think there are similarities there. There are synonyms there in the situations. Let's go to Vic Fangio. And he was talking about Zach Bond, right, who came out of nowhere and was defensive player of the year this year for the Philadelphia Eagles and made a big play in the Super Bowl. I thought the biggest play in the Super Bowl right before half, picking off Patrick Mahomes. Vic Fangio said even he and Howie Roseman were surprised by the success of Zach Bond.
Howie had a vision for him as being an edge player for us and being a good special teams player. And I watched him just a couple times during their games. He would, if they got the tight end off and motioned him across, he would back off and look like an inside linebacker, a stack linebacker. And it only happened about 5 or 6 times. And the way he was moving when he got back there, it's just, I can't explain it. It's just, you know, you've watched 40 years of NFL film and coaching linebackers. I said, man, I think this guy could be an inside linebacker.
obviously they could like him. No one could have predicted what Zach Bond did this past year. All righty, I have not heard this yet. I'm a little concerned here. I'm a big fan of Mike Vrabel. I'm a big believer in Mike Vrabel. But the slug line says rules for Pats players. So I have no clue what this is going to be, and it's 56 seconds long. That seems like a lot of rules for one answer, so I don't know. Here's Mike Vrabel on rules for Patriots players.
One is to respect the team. Okay, respect the football team and the people that are here. Okay, the second one is, okay, I'd like you to have, when we're in a meeting, I know what the style may be, just wear, pull your hood down in a meeting. Be on time. And if I can't be on time, Christian, what's the easiest thing to do? You would just call, right? You would just call and communicate. Okay, all you got to do is say, hey, something came up. Okay, I'm going to be a little bit late. Now, after about four or five times, that starts wearing off, okay? This is just a once in a while. All it is a respect thing, okay? And the cell phones, okay? We all got cell phones. Most of you have more than one, as a matter of fact. Just leave the cell phone in your bag, but just put the phone away, okay? And if it rings, don't start coughing. Like, I've been in this league for 25 years. We all know when a cell phone goes off. We don't need to start coughing and doing that. We'll just turn it on and put it on silent, and we'll move on. Leave it in your bag.
All right, I'm all good with all those rules. I got no problem with any of those rules. Stu, have you ever had two cell phones, just wondering?
I have never had two cell phones.
Samter, have you ever had two cell phones?
Yes.
For what?
Accidentally.
What do you mean accidentally?
I had one, it wasn't working, so I got another one, and then the other one started working again, and somehow Verizon had them both on the network at the same time for like
a few months. Can you hear me now?
What's up?
Can you hear me now? Good. So you've had two cell phones by accident?
Yeah, by accident. But I never like was a person who had two cell phones. I have a lot of friends who do work and pleasure.
Unless if you're Adam Schefter and you're like a breaking news insider, I don't think there's any reason to have two cell phones. Now, some people be like, oh, I have one for personal and then one for business. I have friends that carry around two cell phones. I go, why can't you just do it on one cell phone? So what if business is going into your personal life? So what?
No, it's not even that. It's oftentimes the business, there's sensitive information.
Yeah.
That there has to be a certain kind of encryptions and this and that, and that you can't put that on your personal phone.
Is the information really that sensitive?
Sometimes it is, yeah. When you're dealing with people's money and you're a trader or finance, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Working government.
I don't know. I've never seen the need for two cell phones.
If you're a spy like Stu, he's got like nine cell phones. He's got burner phones. He's got like six different passports.
Stu could be a drug dealer too. You never know. That's why he could have two phones.
You open up his locker, he's got like nine different kinds of currency in there too. It's crazy.
Got a lot of candies in that locker.
He
Stuart
can head
Kovacs.
Over to Italy on a drop of a hat.
Smells a little funky in Stu's locker. Smells like a skunk is in there. Anyway, here is Charles Barkley. So, Ja Morant, how dumb is this guy? Like, I'm not irate about this stuff, but Ja Morant got suspended, right, where he said it was a toy gun, but he was flashing a gun and twirling a gun around on social media. I still don't believe that it was a toy gun. So, this guy has done a gun celebration in the NBA, which any other player does it. I don't really have a problem with it, but when you're Ja Morant and you've been suspended for this, maybe you shouldn't do it. So then they fined him last week. We did a story on this. It was like $75,000, I think. And now he comes back with the grenade celebration. Just how stupid is this guy? And Charles Barkley, who I think is the voice of reason when it comes to the NBA on Inside the NBA on TNT, he commented on the Ja Morant grenade celebration.
He has a history that maybe like he shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, maybe just keep the celebrations with people might die alone.
You know what they're doing because y'all going to keep talking about it. Pull that pin.
I know one person happy right now.
Who's that?
Taylor Jenkins ain't got to deal with this crap. He's going to get another job that he deserves. I'm like, I don't have to deal with this immature stuff.
That's the thing. There is a level of maturity there, obviously, and then there's just stupidity. You've been punished and, you know, suspended and then fined. And once again, if let's just say, give me a random NBA player. Samter, just give me a random NBA player. Jason Tatum?
There you go.
If this was Jason Tatum doing like a little gun celebration or doing a grenade celebration, that would be no problem. But Ja Morant, you've been punished now multiple times for acting like a dope. So the rules are different for you. So just stop. It's so simple here, right? Like, I think this is pretty common sense, right?
Yes, but I think part of it is almost like a middle finger at the league or at his critics.
Yeah,
this is him saying, you guys are trying to stop me from doing stuff that I have no problem doing, You guys are causing all these nonsense issues.
Oh, no. He caused the nonsense. He was twirling around a gun on Instagram like an idiot.
Sure, but, I mean, as long as you're a legal carrier, we're in America and you're allowed to have a gun.
Sure.
He wasn't doing anything illegal. It's probably, you know, not a good idea, but it's also not illegal.
You know what? Twirl around the gun enough times. See what good comes out of that.
Sure.
Yeah, wait until it misfires.
Sure. It's certainly irresponsible, a little immature, but it's nothing illegal, something terrible. Much worse things have happened around
sure.
the NBA.
But he's an idiot.
Sure. But this feels like he's being defiant.
If, let's say your bosses came to you and told you to stop doing something, and then you got in the air and you made fun of it one time, and then they fined you for it after already being suspended, and then you came back another time and did a different iteration of it, you would, honestly, the company would fire you. And now they're not going to fire John Morant because he's obviously talented, right? It's basketball. But this guy is so immature and he's ridiculous. And this is not the same John Morant that I remember first covering when he was at Murray State. We had Matt McMahon on 2 years before anyone ever talked about this guy. He is immature. Extremely immature.
I think part of it, though, is a $75,000 fine. If my bosses came to me and said, hey, we're going to fine you a nickel because of what you said, there's no deterrent for me not to do it again. $75,000 for a guy like John Morant, it's like it's an insult to...
Sure, but still $75,000 of a celebration is still significant. Like, considering what the act is, I understand what you're saying with how much money he makes, that equivalence isn't that big, but, you know, come on. It's just, it's stupid. It's stupid. It's immaturity, and it's just him being stupid. And once again, if it was any other player, I wouldn't have an issue with it. You know, but when you've been punished for this stuff, just stop. Knock it off. Grow up, be an adult. You're not 16 years old anymore. You're an adult in the NBA. Start acting like it. All righty, we'll come on back. We will talk about the worst QB rooms in the NFL. Update time first. Here's Zach. The MLS game preview is sponsored by Lowe's. Members get more with My Lowe's Rewards. Don't wait. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Lionel Messi and Inter Miami take on the Chicago Fire on Sunday. Messi is coming off a two-goal performance on Wednesday against LAFC and has Inter Miami in second place in the Eastern Conference with 14 points in six matches this season. Remember when Messi, what was the level of soccer that they were playing in? Was it Copa America when his ankle was like swollen like a balloon? Oh,
yeah.
That was crazy.
It was bad.
So obviously he's since recovered from that and he's playing at a very high level. Any thoughts, Stu, because you're a big soccer guy in Samter, so I'll give you guys a minute here to have your soccer fix on the air. Any thoughts on Inter Miami and the Chicago Fire? Just wondering.
I mean, I know
you guys love the MLS, let me tell you.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like Messi either scores or gets an assist every game that they play, which is pretty impressive, and he just pretty much dominates. It's just a matter of him staying healthy and him resting at the right times for them to make a run this year.
Well, so they have obviously a championship in MLS, right?
Yeah, they have a playoff system, which most like European soccer doesn't have a playoff system. It's just kind of just what you do during the season. That's your result.
Okay.
So they have the actual playoffs, and they
I remember the Union. I think they were in the championship like 2 years ago or something.
Yes, I believe that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Miami had one of the best records last year, but they lost in the playoffs.
Ah, gotcha. The coach, the old coach of the Union, who got fired, he was at the Super Bowl. And my friend, who is an Eagles fan and a Union fan, he's a soccer honk like you guys are. He ran up to the guy as if he was like the biggest celebrity in the world. And I'm like, how the heck did you even recognize that guy? Samter, you have any thoughts here on Inter Miami and Chicago?
I like their uniforms.
Okay. Can we get, do they come to the area soon, Inter Miami?
They will likely be around here during the Club World Cup that's coming up later on this summer, which there'll be some games. You know, the World Cup is next year, but this year is the Club World Cup, and Inter Miami, because they're one of the hosts, will be part of it, and they'll be playing all around the country, so they might be able to come up here.
Is there anyone we could suck up to get tickets to see Messi? I would go to soccer game to go see Messi.
Yeah?
I would. See if we could suck up to.
Remember that guy that we met out at the Super Bowl the other
day? Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, nice guy.
That guy.
What is he doing again?
He's the head of communications and marketing and sponsorships for FIFA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He can get his tickets.
Yeah.
I love soccer. Yeah. I'm a huge soccer fan. Let me just tell you. Big soccer fan. We never make fun of Stu or Samter for watching soccer while we're doing a show or anything like that. But that wouldn't be me whatsoever. I'm going to the Knicks game tonight. The Knicks play the Cavs. So I am now seeing the Cavs twice in a week because I saw them in San Antonio as well on Friday. So in a week span, I'll be seeing the Cavs to bookend my week and then end my week. And I got pretty good seats tonight. Pretty good seats tonight. I'm sitting a row behind the bench. So if Thibodeau is coaching the way that Knicks fans are thinking he's coaching these days, I might have to be like, hey, Tibbs, let me take over. Let me help you out here. Where's quarterback room, by the way, in the NFL right now? Stu, what say you, where's quarterback room in the NFL right now?
I would say at the moment, and that obviously can change with the draft and free agency, but I mean, the Steelers with Rudolph and Skyler, that's not going to get it done. They have to have someone else in there, and I'm sure there will be, but yeah. Right now that's the worst one for me.
Yeah, that's why it's funny. When Samter asked me this question before the show, I didn't even consider the Steelers because I'm just assuming Aaron Rodgers is going to be there or Shedeur right. Sanders are going to be there. But you're right, where it's currently constructed, when Mason Rudolph's going to be your week one starter, that's a stinky situation right now. Samter, what's your worst quarterback room right now?
There's a few. I mean, you look at the Saints with Derek Carr and Spencer Rattler, the Giants with Russ and Jameis, currently the Titans with Levis, Brandon Allen, Tim Boyle, my Jets with Fields and Tyra Taylor. It's hard not to go with the Steelers, but I think I'm going to have to go with the Browns with Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. I mean, I love Flacco, but like...
Two friends of the show, too.
Yeah. Well, Kenny Pickett... You know, he's a friend of a friend of the show.
Chris in California,
he's a relative.
I think he called Bart last night. And Bart, he did the funniest thing. He was like, oh, wait, you're breaking up. I can't hear you. Talk to you later. And his cell phone connection was fine. He's like, I'm losing you. You're going under. We're in a bad reception zone. I was dying because he just couldn't take the Kenny Pickett stuff again because his take was that Kenny Pickett, like, got Jalen Hurts fired up, and that's why Jalen Hurts played so well to go win the Super Bowl MVP. I think the worst quarterback room right now in how it's currently constructed, and I don't see it getting any better, because like Stu said, the Steelers, you expect them, all right, Rodgers or Shedeur is going to be going there. Maybe the Browns do something else, but who knows? I'm saying it's the Colts. You got two guys that you don't really believe in. You're bringing in Daniel Jones, who you don't really believe in, to challenge Anthony Richardson, who you don't believe in and already benched. There's just no future right now, and their quarterback of the future isn't on the roster, so I'll go the Indianapolis Colts. Onside, offside next. It is Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network.